General Assistant Department, number one speaking.
Hello, this is number two.
Picking ya.
These are the men from the ministry.
We present the men for the ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of the government service. Men who work to a strict code of honor. Unless, of course, they prevent you from doing so by a code in the nose. In the General Assistance Department, as in all ministerial offices, the utmost care and precision is needed for even the smallest task.
Steady now, Mildred. Stand absolutely still. One false move and it's all over.
I've tried my best, Mr. Lamb.
Those things of yours are quivering.
Well, I can't help it. And anyway, eyelashes are supposed to quiver.
Yes, well, now look. One more and we'll set a new General Assistance Department record. Think of it, Mildred. A pyramid of 3,000 matches and all done before 11s is.
I always knew you could do it, Mr. Lamb. Well, go on, finish it. And I'll take a picture for the Civil Services Achievement of the Week page.
All right, then. Here goes.
Good morning, number one. Good morning, Oh, hello, number two. Been smoking a lot this morning, haven't you?
Really, number one, you've spoiled my pyramid. One more match and I could have had a piece about it in the staff magazine.
No, look, there is no time for frivolity of that kind in this department, number two. And anyway, how can I get down to my putting practice with all that sort of mess on the floor there? Clean it up, please, Mildred, would you? And then we'll have some tea.
Right-o, Mr. Lennox.
Oh, on second thought, we'll have the tea first and then you can clean it up.
Right-o. If you change your mind again, I'll be outside in the slave ring.
Just one moment, Mildred. Just one moment. On third thought, Mr. Lamb and I will go out for a cup of tea while you clean up the mess. And mind you do it properly. This department's coming too slack. Much too slack. Much too slack altogether. Come along, number two.
If they think I'm going to stay here and stand for treatment like that, I'm off then. General Assistance Department, Mildred Murfin Scarperin. I mean, speaking.
Hello, Miss Murfin. Pick me up.
I know.
What's that?
Hello.
That's what I said earlier. Hello.
Aye, well, hello then.
Yes, hello. I mean, look here, Miss Murfin. Let's stop this bandying about, shall we? Where's Mr. Lennox Brown?
He's got out with Snoopy. I mean, he's got out with Mr. Lamb.
I see. Something urgent must have cropped up, I suppose. Pity. I wanted to speak to him. You see, my wife's showing her blooms today.
Showing her what?
She's showing her blooms, her flowers.
Oh.
She's exhibiting at the Little Buckthorpe Show. Charity affair, providing window boxes for lighthouse keepers, I believe. She'll be there myself, I can't. Now, I want Lennox Brown to pick up Lady Pitkin with her Rose Maria and bring her to...
Rose Maria, Sir Gregory?
Nobody who, girl. I'm talking about a new type of rose my wife's grown. She's named it Maria. Now, do you understand?
Oh, aye.
I want Lennox Brown to bring the rose plus my wife by car to Scotland Yard. I have an appointment there at 4 with the commissioner. He's very keen on hybrids, and I'd like him to see what my wife can do.
Eh?
He might want to do a swap with one of his.
Swap your wife?
No, girl, the rose. The Rose Maria.
Oh, aye.
It was a magnificent bloom. Deep red, almost black. Hard to describe the colour, really.
How about Pitkin Purple?
Oh, no, no. No, it doesn't go with my placid nature. Now, be sure Lennox Brown gets that message, Miss Murfin. You'd better write it down so you don't forget. Goodbye.
Don't forget, don't know, don't do this, don't do that. Oh, I'll leave their perishing message. Then I'm off to me mum's. Ooh, maybe I'll miss me bus. Oh, now this'll just have to do. Ooh, I'll write a book one of these days. No rose. roses for Miss Burfin.
I say, number one, shouldn't we be getting back to the office? There might be some work for us to do.
Work? What on Thursday morning with the weekend coming up? Nonsense. Plenty of time for another cup, number two.
Excuse me, gentlemen, excuse me. Could I have a minute of your time?
Well, eh? I beg. Oh, well, I don't know. We're terribly busy this morning, you know, and I was just saying to my number two here...
Vice. That's the trouble with our world. Vice and corruption. Can you say your hands are clean?
Well, just a little dirt beneath the fingernails, perhaps. But
can't you smell the corruption and decay all around you?
Yes, well, they're getting ready to serve lunch, you see.
Now,
you would be amazed and disgusted at what goes on in high places.
Yes, yes, I know what he means, number one. I once met a girl in the Alps and...
Not those high places, too. He means the high places like where Sir Gregory spends his time.
There you have it. Men of title. They're the ones. The knights. The lords. The earls.
What about the duke?
Yes, well, them too, yes, them too. There they are, sheltering under their ermine cloaks.
I could do with a bit of shelter myself around here.
Mark my words, their day is coming. Yes, I know something you may not know, my friends. The powers that be are after the parasites. One by one, they'll be scooped into the net, titles and all. And then the heads will roll. Yes, then the heads will roll.
I say, it's just like the French Revolution all over again, number one. Can't you just imagine Sir Gregory standing up there waiting to get the chop?
Look, come to think of it, he looks like a criminal. Look, think of those close-set eyes of his.
Yes, and that evil moustache.
I wouldn't put anything past him, you know.
Number one. Number one, I've just remembered.
What?
I've left the petty cash box open.
Mildred! Oh, Mildred! Honey, where has that girl got to?
Maybe she's gone for a dip in the typing pool. I say, wasn't that good?
Very humorous, number two. Look, why don't you think she had a dip in the petty cash before she went?
Oh, my goodness, you're right. No, thank heavens, it's all here, number one. 1 6d, a used 4d stamp. And the broken wristwatch you left as an IOU. Hello, there's a note here in the typewriter. It's addressed to you.
Let's have a look. Number two. Number two, it started.
It can't have started. There's no mainspring.
No. Not the watch, the heads, the rolling like that man said. Listen to this, look. Memo, MM to RLB, urgent telephone message. Pick up Pitkin, Black Maria, deliver to Scotland Yard.
Good heavens, but number one, why should it be us? And why not the police?
Look, trying to keep down the scoundrel, I suppose. Look, anyway, ours is not to reason why, number two. It'll break my heart to have to do it, but if Sir Gregory's got to go... Inside, he's got to go. Wonder what they'll do with his ministry car, though.
Mildred, where have you been?
I've been to me mum's. Don't ask why, Mr. Lamb, otherwise I'll get mad and tell you.
Get mad? Why?
There you are, you see.
Mildred, will you please stop playing games and tell me more about this note you left saying we had to pick up Sir Gregory?
Pick up Sir Gregory?
Hmm.
It's not him, it's her.
Who?
Lady Pitkin. Oh, I didn't put that in, did I?
You mean it's Lady Pitkin who has to be taken to Scotland Yard?
Aye, from the Little Mookthorpe Horticultural Show. Ooh, I didn't put that in either, did I?
Oh, Mildred, this is terrible. Mr. Lennox Brown's gone off to... and I'm left to find the lady.
A Black Maria? You can't come walking in like this and ask for a Black Maria. I mean, just like that.
This is the Metropolitan Police Transport Section, isn't it?
Oh, it is, but I mean...
In that case, I call upon you to supply one Maria Black for ministry use in terms of Article 17, subsection 3 of the Internal Security Act of 1929, as amended in the Internal Securities Amendment Act of 1932, and as laid down in the amendments to same, published and gazetted on April the 15th, 1936.
Ah, well, of course, that's different. I mean, if you had said so in the first place. There you are. You'll find one in the yard outside.
Thank you. Good morning.
I can see I'll have to brush up on my regulations. I mean, you know.
Good morning. I would like a Black Maria, please.
Well, what for?
What for, my good man? Are you aware of the provisions of the Privileged Persons Act of 1907, in which it is laid down that certain individuals have power to commandeer, impound, or otherwise take possession of such vehicles of the state as may well be necessary for the proper protection of the state's welfare?
Well, who's this one for, then?
It's for Sir Gregory Pitkin, the Permanent Undersecretary.
Oh, well, I mean, if you'd said so in the first place. There you are. You'll find one round the back.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
25 years I've been here. I've never heard of them, Max.
Excuse me. Could I see you a minute?
Oh, blimey, another one of them. Here, help yourself. They're round the back.
What a gay little minx you are, Miss Bentwater. Rather pleasant working out here on the ministry roof, isn't it? Quiet, you know. And I do like to feel the sun on my back. Now, I want you to get everything off as soon as you can. To make absolutely sure you don't miss the last post.
Oh, there you are, Sir Gregory. Doing a bit of bird watching.
That'll be quite enough from you, Lennox Brown. Kindly remove yourself from this roof. You'll find it quicker over the edge.
Oh, I see. Your transport's waiting downstairs, Sir Gregory.
Transport? Where?
To Scotland Yard's.
Good heavens, this is as late as that.
It's later than you think, Sir Gregory.
Well, Miss Bentwater, can't keep the commissioner waiting, can we? I'll send for you tomorrow and we'll complete our examination of the relevant figures.
There we are, Sir Gregory. Allow me to give you a hand up.
Into that? What kind of transport's that?
It's a new kind of security vehicle to protect important passengers, Sir Gregory. Those steel-barred windows there are to prevent people getting at you.
Oh, I'm... Can't say I'm aware of anyone wanting to get at me, Lennox Brown. I'll sit up front and you can get in the back.
Oh, yes, all right. Very good, Sir Gregory. The driver knows the way. It's past the London School of Economics.
Is it? Give me a hand inside, then, quickly.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the Little Mackthorpe Horticultural Society, we are assembled here together on this happy occasion.
Don't dicker, vicar.
I beg your pardon, Lady Pitkin.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my proud privilege to present the prize for today's show. The first prize for the champion bloom of the year goes to the rose known as Pitkin's Black Maria. Well, really, Vicar, do you tolerate such behavior?
Regrettably, dear lady, the villagers of this parish are afflicted with suspicious minds. I well remember a certain young lady in the choir.
Yes, 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 yes. but my rose. Surely they can't think that the award of the first prize was premeditated.
It may have been unwise of you to have your name engraved on the cup last Friday. Might I suggest something, dear lady?
And what is that?
Run for it!
It's way, Lady Pitkin, in here.
In that, a vehicle intended to convey riffraff. Never, never. Oh, dear me. Give me a hand, Vicar.
Well, then, up you go.
Now you, Vicar.
Well, if you kindly look the other way, dear lady.
The other way? Why?
My nether apparel, rent by a pitchfork, wielded by one with little regard for the cloth.
Get in quicker, Vicar.
And here's the news read by Mortimer Thrip. Rumors of scandal in high places are rife in London following a report that a prominent member of the civil service and his wife were seen being half-carried from Black Maria's into Scotland Yard. They were accompanied by a distraught clergyman in torn trousers.
Would you believe that? I think we've done it again.
No. Pull yourself together, number two. Look, these things are unpleasant, I know, but they have to be done.
Yes, but suppose there's been a mistake. What'll happen if they let Sir Gregory out? After a night in the cells, he'll be capable of anything. He could even stop our luncheon vouchers.
Would you please stop boggling, number two? Look, Sir Gregory's safely behind bars, and I told him to book him in under the Official Secrets Act and refer to MI5. Ooh, it'll make a sorry story when it all comes out, of course.
When what all comes out?
Well, it's number two, a man who looks like Sir Gregory must be guilty of something.
Well, all right, but what about Lady Pitkin?
Oh, I wouldn't put anything past her, gallivanting about the countryside with a clergyman half out of his trousers. What an ugly situation. Ugly woman, too, of course.
Oh, there you are, gentlemen. I've been looking for you. They told me at the tea shop that this is where I'd find you.
No, my dear sir, come in. Oh, you are, yes. Look, it's the man from MI5, number two. And now we'll find out what it's all about.
What delightful surroundings you work in, gentlemen. Charming, charming. And I must say, I've never seen a finer aspidistra.
Yes, my number two polishes the leaves every morning.
Yes, well, it reminds me very much of the one in my drawing room in Buckingham Palace.
Your drawing room? Do you mean to tell me that you live at Buckingham Palace?
Of course. When I'm not at Windsor or Sandringham, that is.
I didn't know MI5 had offices there, number one.
Neither did I.
Oh, of course. That's how he knows about all those people.
Which people?
Well, the people in high places, you know, the ones whose heads are going to roll.
What's this man talking about? No wonder all he's fit for is polishing aspidistra leaves.
He's talking about all the vice and corruption that goes on.
In Buckingham Palace? This is treason. Call out the guards, man the gates, search the grounds.
Oh, there you are, Your Majesty. The Queen was beginning to get worried.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I've just been hearing the most extraordinary stories of high treason in the wrong places. Or was it wrong treason in the high places? It's difficult to follow these fellas.
No, I'm sure it is, Your Highness. Now, just leave them to me. I'll soon take care of them.
Yes, lock them up, or behead them or something. And I'll take over their aspidistra.
Right, oh, Your Majesty, yes. Joe!
Coming!
Just take his kingship down to the royal saloon, will you?
Water.
Now, I'll see you down your stairs, Your Majesty.
Don't forget my aspidistra.
Oh, blimey, he's a case.
Hang on. Do you mean he's a nut?
A nut? He's so far around the twist, he could swallow a spiral staircase. Oh. I mean, there he is. leading the French Revolution one day and the King of England the next. Oh, but you can't help laughing, can you?
No, no, you can't help laughing, number two, can you?
No, number one.
Here, I say, is he all right? I mean, I've got room for him downstairs if you want me to.
No, no, no. He'll be all right. It's those tight trousers he wears. They sometimes nip him, you know.
Well, I'll be off then. But the tatar. Oh, how about the aspidistra?
Take it. I don't think we'll be needed where we're going.
All right, then. Yeah, righto, then. Well, so long.
Number two, something occurs to me.
Yes, number one.
Do you think we might have made a boo-boo? Mildred!
Yes, Mr. Lennox-Brown?
That message you left yesterday.
Aye, did you get it all right?
I got it, Mildred, but where did it come from?
I know, it was from Sir Gregory.
From Sir Gregory?
Oh, Mildred, do you know what you've done? You've really got us...
Did Lady Pitkin win?
Win what?
The prize for her roses. The Black Maria, did she get anything?
Yes, Mildred, she got a free trip and a night's board and lodging.
Ooh, Sir Gregory will be pleased.
Thank you very much, Mildred. Thank you very much, and make it very hot and very strong, and I'll have six lumps.
Aye, aye, sir.
Number two, look, if you're going to jump, jump. If not, come inside and close the window.
Number one, what are we going to do?
Hello, hello. Is that the Astral Travel Agency? Are you selling trips to the moon yet? Oh, you're full up? Really? Is he? Are they? Yes, well, thank you very much.
Number one, what on earth are you mooning about?
I'll ignore that, number two. Guess who'd like to be on the first commercial lunar flight, number two?
That's easy. Richard Lamb. Lamb Richard. And Mr. and Mrs. Lamb's only boy, Dickie.
Say nothing of Lord and Lady Flitch of Hambleton, the Duke of Deptford, the Earl Malata of Malata, and the Baron Slough of Slough.
Why do they want to go?
Let's switch on the news and find out.
An unusual incident at the Albert Hall. The symphony had to be abandoned halfway through when the leading trombonist was called away following the premature birth of his fourth child. It was Beethoven's fifth. Mystery still surrounds the identity of the socially prominent couple who were taken to Scotland Yard under conditions of strict secrecy yesterday. A police spokesman, however, said that the man had made a full and frank confession. Further arrests are expected.
A confession? What about?
Be quiet, number two.
Shortly after this news was released, long queues began to form at London's railway stations and airports. Observers declared themselves nonplussed at the sudden demand for one-way tickets.
Anyway, that's enough of that, number two.
Yeah, but I don't get it.
You will. Where the chicken got the axe. Anyway, look, whatever it is, we started it. I think Australia's very nice at this time of the year, number two.
Ah, there you are.
Oh, hello, Sir Gregory.
I know what you mean, Lennox Brown. What's Lamb doing under the carpet?
What? Oh. He's checking for wood borer. And how very nice to see you out, Sir Gregory. Everything all right, then?
Yes. You wily old fox, Lennox Brown.
What?
How did you know the Prime Minister wanted the House of Lords cleared today, eh? Didn't want a debate on his Prime Minister's Salary Act, did he? By George, some political party missed a brilliant statesman when you chose the civil service, Lennox Brown. I cooperated fully at the Yard, of course, when I heard what it was all about.
Do you mean that full and frank confession and further arrests were expected?
Yes, absolute poppycock, of course, but it worked. Well done, my boy. Oh, by the way, my wife wants to have a word with you. How about coming down for the weekend, eh, Roland?
Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Oh, just a small party. Only a few people, you know, ourselves and the vicar. He wants to have a word with you, too.
I
I worked very closely with Mr. Lennox Brown on this, you know, Sir Gregory.
Oh, I'm sure you did, Lamb. Yes, I'm sure you did. We wouldn't dream of leaving you out. Come down together tomorrow afternoon sometime, eh? Goodbye, then, and well done, you chaps. Well done.
I say, number one, he's a dear old chap sometimes, isn't he? But I still don't know what it's all about.
Well, I'm not so sure myself, number two, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. Somebody up there likes us.
Hey, I'll never believe it, but I could have sworn that when Sir Gregory left just now, he was laughing.
Yes, well, he's looking forward to a happy weekend with charming company, Mildred. Mr. Lamb and I are spending it with him.
Oh, are you? Oh, then you can take these things down with you.
What things?
Well, Sir Gregory gave me this requisition. He must want to do a bit of gardening. He wants 2 pitchforks, a bucket of tar, and 2 sacks of feathers.
At the wheel of the Black Maria, as the men from the ministry were John Simpson and Roger Service. In the back were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan, and Pat Simpson.
The Men from the Ministry was written by Brian Squires and produced by Tom Meehan in the Durban studios of Springbok Radio Productions.